Time now in our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, from a fan standpoint, I don't know if you could get any better than what last night was. Coaches have a hard time necessarily stepping back and appreciating that, certainly so close to a game. But have you at all been able to step back and appreciate what last night was like just from a college hockey standpoint?
Absolutely, Schulze. And again, it was a good hockey game, and I have no problem. I have no problem losing a game when I felt we've done everything in our power to win the game. And it was just one of those games, and you know, they got the last break, and we played a very solid hockey game. I thought we played a well-rounded game, and it was a good hockey game. I appreciate that. I saw from the bench what you saw from the press box, and it was just those things aren't going to go your way sometimes, and sometimes they are going to go your way, Schulze. So good game. Hopefully it's the same game tonight, and we get that last bounce, and we move on with a split.
Don't often do this in these interviews, but let's talk about all five of those goals. First one, you win a faceoff. It's low to high, D to D, shot, deflection, goal. What does low to high do to a defense?
Well, first off, it wasn't a shot. It was a tip play. And that was actually, I mean, I guess it was a shot from Karchi, but it was more of a pass, Schulze, actually. He saw Owen open right off the post right there. So when we get the puck to the flanker, we do want to rotate that puck maybe to the weak side of the post right there for the tip play. So that was well executed on Cardelli's part. What happens with low to high at times, Schulze, is that when the puck is low, the coverage collapses low, the high coverage collapses low, which opens up those defensemen to rotate the puck and have a, you know, just to create a little space.
Their first goal, puck is at the point. They throw it into the slot, and the defenseman makes a diving tip play. You don't see that a lot. You certainly don't see it a lot by a defenseman. As that play is playing out, what was going through your mind?
Well, I thought it was kind of a harmless play, to be honest with you, Schulze. And the play wasn't necessarily from the point. It was a kick-out play. What was happening is the defenseman, Carroll, the defenseman, had the puck through the neutral zone. He kicked it to the outside, which was actually to Ryan Sandlin. It was Carroll to Sandlin. I was thinking, was there another person involved right there? But there wasn't. So Ryan Sandlin got the puck on the half wall, and then Carroll just highballed it to the net, went to the post. And Ryan Sandlin threw it to him. He knew he was going to the net, and he reached out and deflected it. It was a good goal. It was a good goal from their standpoint. It was a hard working goal, and it was a defenseman who's driving the net right there.
Their next goal was set up during a power play. It officially was right after the power play had ended, but they go left dot to right dot to the slot. Quick order. Defensively, how can you cover that east-west so quickly?
We were late to the party. I always use that term, but we were late to the party getting to the slot. And we could have got to the slot, and we could have blown that up. And Smith wouldn't have got it. You don't want to got it off, but you can't. You can't leave Smith or Girard. He's their other bumper, as we call the guy in the middle of the slot right there. But their bumper was open for a split second. Those guys Smith's got a heck of a release. And, there's two things that could have happened right there. We needed to get to the bumper quicker. Our weak side killer should have got to the bumper quicker, which he could have. He just was a little slow getting there. And then our strong side killer had a stick in the wrong lane. He should have had a stick outside versus inside. So he had a stick to the inside. Our defenseman had a stick to the inside. We had two guys with their sticks to the inside. So it could have been prevented by, again, you know, those two things. But easier said than done about a day later to talk about it.
The game winner was a situation where you guys tried to clear it a couple of times and couldn't get the puck out. You're now in scramble mode. Defensively, what's supposed to happen in scramble mode?
You know what? It just, Schulze, honestly, it was just a bad break. Tommy Muck, there was a puck sitting there, and you're exactly right. I can't really play back the whole scenario in my mind right now, but the bottom line was there was a puck sitting there in the slot, and we couldn't get there quick enough to bat it in the corner. We always want to obviously throw pucks in the corner right there when it's a pressure situation. Tommy didn't have the time, and plus the puck was too far away from him. All Tommy could do was poke it forward. Now, do you want to do that? Typically, no, because you could be poking it right to one of their guys, which that's what happened. But sometimes, again, you're just trying to survive, and then you're taking a gamble. And Tommy pokes it forward, hoping that it's going to go to somebody in the green. It doesn't go to somebody in the green, and they ended up scoring on it. But it just, he had no other choice because of the placement of where that puck was and the placement of where our players were at that particular time.
Your last goal was low to high. We've already talked about low to high. How does low to low change things?
Well, what happens, too, once that puck went low to low, and Hampus cut back. So Hampus then eventually Hampus got the puck low and he cut back to create some space for himself. All their coverage collapsed. And once their coverage collapses, as we all know, who's open? That high layer is open, which is Brad Johnson, and Hampus found Brad. Brad teed it up, and it was a missile. And so that's what happens sometimes, is that you just want to gravitate low because you're so concerned what's going on in front of the net. And there's still a lot of times you might go low to high, but somebody's on there. Now what happens once the puck goes low to high, you know, the defending team can typically get out there and be on their front and block the shot or force the puck to either go back down the wall or maybe go D to D, you know. So it was just, we were fortunate right there where Hampus made a good play and Brad made a good shot.
More with Coach Cerutori when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Cerutori. The end of last night's game, Tom, was just flat out fun to watch. Before the game, you said you didn't know what kind of style it was going to be. Turned out to be a punch-counter-punch kind of a night. Not necessarily about last night, but generally speaking, how do you like how your team punch-counter-punch or just responds when they need to?
Well, I thought it was pretty gutty on our part, mostly on the road in a very hostile environment. And that punch-counter-punch, you know, analogy is going to be used a lot, obviously, over the course of the next, you know, month, because it's just what happens right now is this time of year, every players are very cognizant on both teams on being on the right side of the man, being on the right side of the puck, making sure that they're managing the puck at a particular time. You know, probably aren't quite as aggressive as they normally would be just because of the magnitude of the games right now. It just is what it is, and that's what happens, and that's kind of what happens in these playoff-type games.
One team is going to want to play one way. The other team may want to play another way. How does one team dictate over the other team how this game is going to be played tonight?
It's a great question, Schultze, and sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it can just turn into a free-for-all where it is just going to be wide open. And for whatever reason, it can happen that way. And what happens, sometimes it might be a lead. Might be an early lead. It could be like an early lead. Now somebody's got to come back, and then maybe somebody starts coming back. And so now the game has already dictated what kind of style it's going to be too. So there can be many different reasons why, Schultze, but sometimes, again, early goals and an early lead can create more of a wide-open type contest. Very similar to Fairbanks and Northern last night. I mean, it was 3-3 after one. It ended up 4-4, but again, for whatever reason, I think that probably created how that game was going to be for the next 60 minutes. Even though if one team would have maybe, Northern did get the lead 4-3, but you know, if somebody would have got even a 5-3 lead, you know, would there have been more lockdown or not? I don't know. Sometimes you might want that as a coach, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way.
The rest of this interview is going to be strictly about those last 3 minutes. Polzak. Based on the situation, how much time is left, the way the game was playing out, why was that the right decision?
First off, Schultze, we had a timeout, right? So we had a media timeout, number one. Number two, you don't know if you're going to get another offensive zone faceoff. Just by the way the complexion of the game is going, there was no easy ice. We had, I don't know, what did we have at that time? Maybe 18 shots. Some shots were 18-18. They had 19, so they obviously had 19, whatever. But bottom line was, it was one of those shots where one of those games where there's minimal shots, minimal shot attempts. There was no easy ice. Sometimes you just got to roll the dice and say to yourself, let's pull the goalie right now and let's try to get it done. Hey, we're either going to lose this thing 4-2 awful quick, or we're going to pop one out. Our mentality is when we pull them at 2:57, hopefully we're going to pop one in the next minute. You know, and if we don't pop one in the next minute, we knew we had a timeout. We had a timeout left, and then we also knew there was another media timeout. So we also knew there were some other things that were going on, but we just felt that we needed time on our side if we wanted to score that third goal. And it's just a gut feeling, Schultze. You just have to play this game out in your mind. If the game was 4-4, and it was a little more wide open, we would never would have done it at 2:57. So I think you do have to look at the game. I think you need to look at the team you're playing. Are you on the road or are you at home? I mean, there's just a lot of different factors. And then you just got to go with your gut.
You had end zone time for, heck, a good minute and a half there. You then take a timeout. And I'm initially saying, man, they're gassed. Oh, yeah. Cerutori wants to put that line right back out there. That's a roll of the dice too, isn't it?
Yeah. We called a time. Exactly right. We had to. Because we needed those. It wasn't about Mankato, it was about us. And it was an icing, but we had to do it. We just needed it. We needed our horses to obviously, again, yeah, that they needed a breath of fresh air and a gulp of water.
I thought you played that situation very well. What could have you done better, though?
I don't think we really. You know what? We probably, Brian, looking at it, looking back, because we mentioned it a couple of times, we might have possessed it too much. We probably should have funneled a couple shots. You know, we had some good net front presence, and we probably should have funneled a couple shots right there. We had somebody off the, on the back door. We had good slot coverage with Adam Brady. You know what I mean? We felt we had good enough numbers, and they were doing a good job of keeping. They were letting us possess it to the outside. You know, but we cross seamed them two different times. Aaron Miller to Elias Rosen. Anytime you can cross seam somebody diagonally, we were in pretty good shape. And Rosie one time couldn't catch it clean. So Rosie got it. Then he got the buck to Tommy Muck in the middle, and then we had some options right there. But I guess the biggest thing is probably Schulze. If there's anything that we would have done different, probably try to get a couple pucks to the net and try to create something, you know, second chance opportunities and just kind of let the puck, and hopefully get a little puck luck.
Normal extra attacker situation with like a minute left. There's built-in urgency. There's 1 minute. What changes when there's 3 minutes?
Well, the biggest thing is I think you still have that urgency, but you do want to, it's the game within the game, in my opinion, Schulze. You just need to make sure that when we pull them at 2:57, that next minute is critical. We all know it. It's the next minute. You want to score within that minute. Hey, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, if that thing had to last 2 minutes and 57 seconds, I would think that they were going to get a shot in the last 2:57. You know, I mean, a good shot. They had some shots, but I mean, they were still shots that, whether it's a bouncing puck, pucks on the wall, foot races, you know, they weren't easy. You know, they had a couple of whacks at it, but those weren't easy shots even at an open net, you know. But no, that was, you know, hats off to our guys. Again, we possessed it pretty good, and we had pretty good urgency, and I think that timeout allowed those guys. I think that timeout on the icing actually allowed those guys. I think they had a lot of confidence. I think they had a lot of confidence on that second go around it with the open net.